So don't you love him tonight? Amen. So, Father, again, we just thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Amen. Regardless of what we're going through, when we worship, man, it just reminds me, Lord, that you are in charge, that I am in the palm of your hands, right? Lord, we're in the palm of your hands, and we thank you for that, Lord. So thank you for this time of worship. And sometimes, Lord, we can get dry. We thank you for, like a sponge, just getting, soaking up his presence and his goodness. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Amen. This is a pretty good crowd. Good to see you all. I wanted to explain, and maybe I wanted to say a couple things. I could have said, too, on Wednesday nights, I could have said, hey, if a group of you still wanted to do it for a couple months and someone wants to speak or however you want to set it up, you certainly can do that. I guess for me, I loved it. I shouldn't say that. I like the line upon line stuff versus the topical stuff. Does that make sense? So this is kind of like almost like a mini Bible school or a Bible college session, to me anyway, because, and I like how what I liked about this line upon line in the book of John is it kind of puts me as, and we're in Jesus' feet, walking on the earth and the things that he was coming up against. So much I used to think of him just kind of floating around. But all the things that we've gone through this book, you know, chapter 4 that we're going to finish up tonight, you know, 27 sessions, and really realizing everything that, you know, Jesus as a man, as God, but as man, everything that he went through, everything that he endured, and the type of people that he touched. Amen? When I see the type of people he touched, I was like, I can relate. I don't know about you, but when I see the type of people Jesus touched, the down and the out, the sinner, the struggling, the ones that have no hope, I can relate to that. Anybody else feel the same way? Thank you, Lord. Well, then I'm in good company. Marcus, I'm in good company. Amen. But the religious weren't, they didn't feel like they were in good company with Jesus, were they? So as we go through this, as we've seen, obviously they, when it came at the very end, it was the religious leaders who actually started the crowd up saying, crucify him. All because we've talked about it before too, all because of envy and jealousy. Did you know that? Because of envy and jealousy. So going through this, and let me just say this, we went all through the book of Romans. We went through all of Romans, amen? And this 27 session, so I just wanted to take a couple of months to get metaphorically speaking, get a few things out of my hair. So, that's why I said metaphorically. Right? You heard that, metaphorically? But I wanted to say that if some of you got together and said, hey, we wanted to continue, we'll set it up some way, please do. I should have gave that option. I didn't. I apologize. And so, amen. John, chapter 4. Now, if you don't have a Bible today, I'm sorry. We don't have it up there. I apologize. But you guys are outstanding listeners, or you may have the Bible on your phone if you're like me. I have to admit that I haven't opened... Don't hold this against me, but I haven't opened a paper Bible in about 3 years. I have a lot of them. Just for me, it's not the way I study anymore. But if you could, you know, I have my Bible. What I like about, by the way, Bible online is I can look at like 20 different versions. And then I also have the Greek and lexicon and different things I can look online that really makes studying the Word of God is at your fingertips now. Isn't that awesome? So, John, it's good. John Corbett, it's nice to have you out of the perch tonight. He can join us. Thank you for everything you do, John, up there. I tell you, John is a trooper, as many of you guys are. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I just think of John because he's up there whether he wants to be or not. Thank you, John. John chapter 4, long chapter, verses 51 to 54. And remember, so we had the official, he was a Gentile, came up to Jesus. I'm sorry, we had this last week, and he said, come with me. Come, heal, I need you to come pray for, in this case, I think it's his son, right? And remember, putting it, boots on the ground, so to speak, Jesus as a person, Jesus ministering to people, it was like a 4 days journey to get to where his son was. So when he was dead, we talked about last week desperation. He says, Jesus, come with me. You've got to pray for my son. And he was bold. Remember last week he talked about, he was bold enough to say, hey, would you come with me in a 4 days journey there and a 4 days journey back? We talked about, remember, was it the one guy that he was bold enough to go to his neighbors, Jesus, if you were here last week, and said, hey, I have some visitors, can you get me some bread? And we talked about how almost that analogy, that story that Jesus told in the middle of the night, it's almost silly, isn't it? I mean, you think about it. In the middle of the night, who's going to come to your house in the middle of the night and say, hey, you got some, I'll put it this way, you got any grub? You got any food? You got any victuals? You have any bread? You got any meat? You got any cheese? I've got some visitors in the middle of the night. And so Jesus given that analogy, that story about someone being bold enough. And remember he shouted, I'm in bed, get out of here. What are you doing, crazy man? But he kept knocking on that door. And I just pray, Lord, that we would have a heart. That we just keep knocking. I know there's things in our lives, things, situations, people, relationships, children, finances. Can I go right down the line? Health and everything, where sometimes it seems like doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, what the Lord was saying there is have that person being bold enough. We were talking about last week, the Lord loves when we ask. Religion says don't ask. And even the word of faith says just ask once. Don't ask anymore. I've heard that in the word of faith, but I don't see that in the Bible. I even see where Elijah had to pray, seven times to see that hand, like this, that cloud coming out of the ocean, the size of a fist. And each time he prayed once, and he sent his right-hand person, his servant, says, go look. Isn't that amazing? Go look. What do you see? Nothing. Well, I heard the Lord. Huh. Well, maybe I'll come back tomorrow or next week. No, what did he do? He prayed again. He said, go look. What do you see? I don't see anything, Elijah. Three times. Can you imagine? Third time, go look. Nothing, Elijah. What are you doing? Fourth, the fifth time, the sixth time, Elijah didn't quit. That seventh time, he says, I don't see much, but I do see a cloud the size of a man's fist. Amen? And then when he saw that, just that little thing, he could have stopped right there. But he knew when he saw that, he told Ahab, the wicked king, he says, you better get your horses running or you're going to be overcome by the rain. Isn't it amazing how God was even at that point very merciful and kind towards Ahab? Is that his name, King Ahab? Yeah. Ahab, even when he was like one of the most, if not the most wicked king Israel ever had. And even then he says, look, God's going to show you his goodness. God's going to show you his faithfulness. God's going to show you he's real. You better get in your chariot and get going, because the rain is overtake you. Amen. So continuing, so I'm saying this because last week he was very bold to say, Jesus, come. I know it's day's journey, but I'm desperate. And it says, as he was now going down, so he left because they had the conversation, Jesus says, your son is, he's healed. And it said he believed him, right? So, and as he was now going down, this is that the official that was a Gentile, now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was alive. Wow. They came and said, hey, we know he's well. They met him on this journey and said he is alive. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that hour at which Jesus said to him, your son is alive. You know what? I just got to say that for some of us have got to say that over family members. You're alive. In Jesus' name, I'm thinking of some people in my family. You're alive. I say to my daughter, you're alive. I say to my oldest son, you're alive in Jesus' name. And then for my youngest boy, I thank God that he's alive. He's doing very well. But I say for those other people, and I can think of different people in my family, I got to declare, Father, I got to believe that they're alive. In Jesus' name, I declare life over them in Jesus' name. Maybe I asked the first time, and the second time, the seventh time, the 70th time, but one of these days, I'm going to see something. It might just be a cloud the size of a fist coming out of the ocean, and I know that the power of God's going to overtake that situation, and it's going to be restored in Jesus' name. Amen. And it said that Elijah was like a man like you and I with passions. Means he wasn't perfect. Means he screwed up. It means sometimes, I mean, gosh, he was the one that laid underneath a tree and said, just kill me. I'm done. Amen? I'm done. And so even a man like him, it says, with like passions, prayed. Amen? And God answered. So, Father, we thank you that even in our lives that we're going to see things, might just be a hand, might just look be a cloud the size of a hand. And it didn't come the first year we prayed. And maybe it didn't come the second year we prayed. And maybe it didn't come the third year we prayed. But by gosh, it's going to come. We have to believe that. If Elijah's no different than you and I, and he was in a different covenant, then what holds us back? Amen? Amen. We thank you for that, God. Amen. We thank you for that, Father. I tell you what, that's good preaching. I'm telling you, that is a prophetic word, a word of exhortation for somebody. I know it was for me. I don't know about for you, but I received that for me. I hope you receive that for yourself today. I just can't leave there right yet. Lord, we thank you that for those areas in our hearts and our lives. Father, we just thank you, Father God, that we continue, Father, to we continue to pray and we don't see that manifestation and we don't give up. Lord, we go to pray, we don't see that manifestation and we don't give up. Lord, we pray, we don't see that manifestation, but I thank you, Lord, you know that day and that hour in the supernatural when that fist representing the Spirit of God, representing the Holy Spirit, representing rain on somebody's heart, rain on somebody's soul, rain in somebody's life, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out. And that drought is going to be discontinued. That drought's going to be gone. That drought in their soul is going to be broken in Jesus' name and watered with the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen and amen. Lord, we choose to believe that. Lord, we choose to declare that and believe it in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, in that 3.5 years that it did not rain, I guarantee you there was many times Elijah says, man, I wish it would rain. He wasn't just floating around on supernaturally either. I don't think he'd love spending all his time in front of a brook being fed by a raven until it dried up. That just doesn't look fun to me. Day after day, month after month, season after season, I'm sure he was saying, man, I wish it would rain. Lord, when's it going to rain? And then when the Lord finally, something quickened in his heart, and he prayed, and he's like, nothing happened. He could have given up, huh? He could have given up. Seven times. That perfect number, seven. Amen? The perfect number of God, seven. Amen. Amen and amen. Now we can go on. Amen. Verse 53. So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son is alive. And he himself, and this is great, your son is alive. And he himself believed in his entire household. This is, again, a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come back from Judea into Galilee. Can you believe that? The first sign, you know what the first sign was? Turn the water into wine. He did not do many miracles in his hometown, did he? That was the second time, and it wasn't even a fellow Jew. It wasn't a Hebrew. It was a Gentile. Amen. It was a Gentile. See, first sign was that water turned into wine, and it says he believed. Let me ask this. It said, what did he believe? He believed what? It's interesting. It doesn't tell us. It just says he believed. But, you know, in the Greek, that word believe means persuasion. He's persuaded. It means conviction. He had conviction in his heart. It also means profession. I mean, he was professing, I believe. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. He was professing. It also means assurance. So we're talking about what does believe mean in the Greek when it says that he himself believed in his household. So that profession, assurance. And it says strict observance of promises. That's part of it. Strict observance of promises. Wow. It didn't say strict observance of do's and don'ts, but strict observance of promises. See, when it says that he believed, I can see that here it says that he was persuaded that he was indeed the Messiah. Amen? He had a conviction in his heart when he was willing to say, hey, I want you to walk with me 4 days there and 4 days back. He had a conviction that this is indeed God. He had a profession. He said, come, I know that if you come, my son will be healed. He had assurance in his heart that what he was asking for was going to take place. And then a strict observance of promises. Something in him that he knew if he could get Jesus to come with him, Jesus being the promise, that his son indeed would be healed. Because of his faith, right, he had a faith saying, come, I know he'll be healed. And then he was rewarded with an answer to his prayer. And it's like his heart said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew the minute that he just sent me on his way, I was already assured in my heart. Amen. I was already assured in my heart. I already had a persuasion in my heart. I already had a conviction in my heart. I already had a profession on my lips. And I already knew that he is the promise of the coming Messiah. So when I knew, when they came to me and said, your son is alive, it was like, I knew it. I believe. I knew when I saw you guys coming in the distance looking like ants running my way, I knew what you were going to say. He is alive. Amen and amen. You know, there's a similar account I want to read real quick. It's from Matthew 8, 5 through 11. And it seems like it would be the same account, but it's different. It's not. And you can read it. First of all, this one was a centurion. The other one was some kind of noble official. So Matthew 8, 5, and 11. And so I just want to read this because it's similar, but this guy's response to Jesus was even beyond the other gentleman's as far as his understanding Jesus' authority. It says, and when Jesus entered, Matthew 8, 5 through 11, and when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, begging him and saying, Lord, my servant, see, so it's not his son, it says, my servant, different account, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, terribly tormented. The other one had a fever, right? We read about had a fever, tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. See, the first one, Jesus says, go on your way. He's healed. This one, Jesus says, I'll go with you. But the Lord knows what everything that was going to be said. He knew this, what was going to happen here. But he's still amazed and saying, Lord, verse 6 again, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, terribly tormented. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Verse 8, but the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Wow. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the kingdom of heaven. Now, if we continue reading, he gets tough with him. He says there's going to be those who think they're going to be there that aren't going to be there. Those of the house of Israel that they think they're going to be at that marriage supper of the Lamb, and they will not be there, because I am he who was to come. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And many of those at that time rejected him. Amen. They rejected him. Well, not amen. That's not good. They rejected him as Savior. And so this centurion, just a different account. Why do I read this? Because I wanted you to know that if you read this account, you might think that it was the same one as the one in John, but it's not. This one takes it a step further. This gentleman saying, hey, I understand authority. You just give the word. I've got people under me. So he was able to equate the natural authority. I have men under me. I just give the word and they do it. And he was able to equate that with Jesus' spiritual authority. And you just give the word. You just give the word, and I know supernaturally the power of God will heal this individual. Amen? So he was amazed. So I want to go to this next. So we had the faith of the nobleman there in John chapter 4, but then you also deal with the unbelief of Jews. Matthew 13, 57 and 58 says, and they took offense at him. Remember, I'd read that before. It's also in John. They took offense of him. This is people in Jesus' hometown. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not dishonored except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Well, you know, I'm going to read a little bit, because you can have a lot of religious, how do I want to put it here? You can have a lot of religious activities and have absolutely no faith. You can do a lot of, you can look as polished, spit shined on the outside. Did I say spit shined? I'm sorry. You can look as shined as can be and still walk totally in unbelief. You know, there's people in religion who think, if I can just get this right, if I can find the secret to walking with God correctly, that somehow that'll unlock this door to God. But it doesn't work that way, does it? So Paul says this in Philippians 3, 2 and 9. This is a powerful group of scriptures. So it says, this is Paul. He says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision. Who's he talking to? This would offend, once again, when the things that got Paul in trouble, the reason why Paul was so persecuted was because of things like this. Because he's talking about the Jews that don't believe in Christ. He's talking about those that are trusting their religion, trusting in their circumcision, trusting in all the things they've done on the outside, that they are followers or right with God. But Paul calls them this. He says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and take pride in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the outward working of our flesh. No confidence in the... That's cute, isn't it? That baby's cute. I have to take a look at that baby. Put no confidence in the flesh and in their own works. That's a cutie pie. That's Ezra, right? That baby's name Ezra, by the way. In case you didn't know. Yeah. And put no confidence in the flesh. Let's hear this with our ears tonight. Amen. Can we, saints? For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and take pride in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Although I myself could, this Paul starts saying, hey, this is what, let me show you. He starts giving an analogy of himself. He says, although I myself could boast as having confidence even in the flesh. He's going to tell us why. If anyone else thinks he is confident in the flesh, I have more reason. But boy, he's doing a little boasting. You think you've got confidence in yourself? I have more reason. I'm more better than you. More better. I have more reason. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. I mean, this guy was following to the hilt, right? And he says, but then listen to this. This is powerful. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss because of Christ. Wow. Things, you think about things. He was circumcised on the eighth day, right? He says, that doesn't matter. He's saying that's what he's saying. It doesn't matter. An Israelite, a tribe of Benjamin, he's saying that doesn't matter. A Hebrew of Hebrews, that doesn't matter. Strict Pharisee, that doesn't matter. Zealous, we can be zealous and be zealous for all the wrong reasons. He was very zealous, amen? There's many people in many different religions that are very zealous. Their heart's pursuing God, but they're miserably wrong. They have no righteousness at all because all our righteousness comes by faith, amen? So he's saying, it means nothing. My zealousness, my blameless in the law for righteousness, it means nothing. Then verse 8, he says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss. Listen, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them mere rubbish so that I may gain Christ. All those things that he took pride in, all those things that he said, hey, look at me. He said, it's all rubbish. He says, I've lost it all. If you think about his identity, what God called him to, his being a Pharisee now, didn't matter. The Pharisees had rejected him. Amen? Him saying that, hey, what matters is circumcision of the heart, not the flesh. A large group of people rejected him. Him being part of the tribe of Benjamin, it now didn't matter, for many of the people in his tribe and his people rejected him. So when he says, I lost everything, he says, I lost everything I pursued. I lost everything that I worked for because of my giving my life to Christ. And he says, that's okay because I consider it hogwash. I consider it rubbish. I think in the language today, we would say that it was bologna and sausage, which means BS. Right? Isn't that what BS stands for, John? Bologna and sausage? So he was saying, all of those things that I thought were my righteousness, bologna and sausage. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to does anybody know the Mitts that come to the church sometime? They're Jewish people. I mean, Lisa Mitts' brother is a rabbi. Her dad was a very famous rabbi, well known. Mr. Mitts is a Jew, and his lineage, their family has totally rejected them. But they said something to me that I didn't say to them. They said, it's amazing how Christians think that we're here, and they're there. That's not true at all. Matter of fact, what Paul said right here is saying all those things that we take pride in with the Jewish people, and I'm not into replacement theology. I'm not saying that at all. And you guys have heard me say this a few times, but I'm just saying what Paul said here, all those things that I stood up for pride in, he says, are rubbish. I've lost them all for the sake of Christ. And now you and I, joint heirs for Christ, children of Abraham, amen, on the same level as the Mitts. Amen, the same level as the Mitts. they're Jewish people that found the Messiah. I'm a non-Jewish man that found the Messiah. I walk in the same covenant that Abraham handed down that now I walk in, right? It says you won't be able to count. You won't be able to number all the peoples and the nations. If you can count the stars, if you can count the sand on the seashores, then you'll be able to count your offspring. And you and I are his offspring. We are offspring of Abraham. Amen. The promises of Abraham for us are yes and amen. So I thank God that I'm up there too in Christ. Amen. That's good news. And so in talking to them about that, because they're the ones that kind of had brought that up before. Just people knowing their background. But they don't act like that or believe that at all. They were just kind of, we were just talking about how Christians will believe or think because that's the way they were taught. Amen. That's the way I was taught. Well, by the Word of God, looking at the Scriptures through the Holy Spirit, through the grace of God, how I see my walk with Him 120% different than I did years back. Now through grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What Paul was saying is all the boasting was on those things, those actions, all those works, all those things that we're following, he says they are baloney and sausage. Amen. Let me just say, he says, and continue in verse 9, it says, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. This is good. We have to remind ourselves, saints, day by day. This is a good reminder for all of us. And in verse 9, it says, and may be found in him. Who's him? Jesus. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Can't equate our faith to much doing of righteousness. Can't equate our faith to much spit shining and polishing the outside. Can't equate our salvation, our righteousness, to our much doing. Look at all the learning of the Word of God that he did. Let me just tell you this. If you read the Word of God in any way in your heart, this is what I come to realize. As a duty, that's not his love, and that's not faith. That's not righteousness through faith. But the kind of duties God wants us are the things that he's made us for purpose-wise, and then reading his love letter to us, the Word of God. Reading it saying, God, I'm doing this because I belong to you, because I want my heart open to understand Jesus more and more. Lord, I want to know who you are. I want the character of the Christ to become my character by faith, as we read the Word of God and say, Lord, let that become life in my soul, man. Amen. Renewing my mind. Where Paul was all doing it by his own, what he said, strict adherence to the law and all the things that were part of the law. And he says, they turned out to be bologna and sausage. I've lost it all. It's become rubbish. I have forsaken all of that I may know Christ. Amen. Can you stand up with me tonight? Are you still awake out there? If there's anything that I felt in my heart tonight that as we were here together was, let's not give up on that hand. Does that make sense? Let's not give up on that praying for those things that we're wanting to see. Amen. Let's continue to believe in those areas, that those areas that are dry desert, that have been dry desert for many years. We know that there's a rain coming for those areas, relationships, family, whatever it is, health, finances, amen. God using you, whatever it is, Lord, we continue to pray. Those dry areas are going to be watered in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that by your Holy Spirit. We receive of that, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Father God. As we continue, Lord God, to petition heaven for the things that we want to see in our lives, Father God, as we know there's a day of reckoning coming for a victory in Christ, a victory over areas that the enemy has held down and locked down. And so we thank you for that. We love you, Father. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, in the next coming weeks or month that there be a physical rain in our area. Oh, Lord, how we need rain, Father. We ask that it would rain in Arizona, that it would rain in our area, Father God, to replenish, Lord, to replenish, Father God, to bring times of restoration, Lord, and refreshing in our area, Father God. We just ask for that. We thank you for the rains, Father. We thank you that you hear the petitions that we pray and how we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.